Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 9th, 2014. With me today is the wonderfully giggle-filled Kelly Gumont. See?
Hey, Jeff.
See? And our resident Foley artist, John Martellaro.
The exceptional John Martellaro.
Yes. Well, some days you're exceptional and some days you're a Foley artist. You're a true Renaissance man, John.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So the first story that I wanted to take a look at today is something that that you got all fired up about this morning, Kelly.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
And this is the news that Wink is coming to, is it Home Depot?
Mm-hmm.
So fill us in.
So Wink, let me back up just a bit. There are some people who probably are familiar with a company called Quirky. And Quirky is awesome because Quirky lets you go to them and say, I have this great idea. And then if enough other people agree that this is in fact a great idea, they will make your item. You can buy them in Staples, I think, and Office Depot Max. I don't remember which one.
I think they're the same thing now.
They might be. So wherever it is, there's usually a little section that's like a Quirky section. And you can find the flexible power strips, you know, that bend and twist so that all of your giant wall warts will all fit on your power strip. And they make a really neat cord wrap for your brick, for your MacBook Pro and different things. And so they've spun off this home automation piece called Wink. And so if it's not something you've heard of before, it's okay because they're from an established company. Quirky's been around for a long time. They've been doing some interesting stuff. And so now they've got this new thing they're doing where it's a two-pronged approach to home automation. So first of all, they have an app, an iOS app or an Android app, whichever flavor you desire. And that iOS app, yeah, well, for some people, there's Android. We don't judge TDO. So for some people, it's awesome that this exists in both ways, because then you can put it on a tablet, for example. You know, I have a Nexus 7 laying around, and if it's in the basement a lot of the time, it would be a good way to have a good place to fire up some home automation stuff. So there are certain things from the get-go that are already able to use this free app, and you can use it to control some of them. There's some Honeywell thermostats, Lutron lighting, some of the Leviton switches, the Lutron shades are another one that you can use. There's some of the Schlage locks that you can use a smartphone to enable and disable. You can use the Wink app to control those today, this minute, without having to do anything. The reason that's awesome is because generally in home automation, John can probably also tell you some horror stories about this, anything that you install has its own app that you have to use in order to run it. So I have a folder on my phone right now that is nothing but apps that run stuff at my house. So I have a Wemo app, and I have the app for the Mi Casa Verde, which is the little brain that that a lot of stuff in my house speaks to. And I have an app for the sprinkler, and an app for the Hue, and an app for the garage door opener, and on and on and on. So on the one hand, that's a lot of stuff I can run off my phone at my house. And on the other hand,
you need a folder.
It is an entire folder.
That's pretty geeky.
It's fantastically geeky. It is impressive by geek standards how much of this stuff I have wired up to my phone. Now, so there's the one piece where there's a lot of those things that don't need any other gyration. All you have to do is install the Wink app and take the place of a bunch of those already. There's so also hardware.
It's sort of like a preview idea of what we're supposed to get with HomeKit.
Hopefully. And then there's other things that require this Wink hub, which is a little box, sort of like an Apple TV, that you stick somewhere in your house and hook up to your Wi-Fi or your Ethernet if you want to. And it will do the communicating for you for things that aren't already set up to do this. So there's some
Is that sort of like a Harmony where it knows how to communicate to various devices?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot like that. I have a box right now that's called a Vera from a company called Mi Casa Verde, and that was the one that we got initially that everything feeds into. But like Dropcam will talk to the hub, the Philips Hue light bulbs will talk to the hub, the quick set locks, the Leviton switches and outlets if you're using those. GE has some LED light bulbs you can run with a phone. Those will talk to the hub. The Philips Hues, like I said, will talk to the hub. My sprinkler system will talk to the hub. And here's the thing about the hub is only $50.
And I've got this image in my head of you now walking around, sticking up your hand, going, talk to the hub. And
well, actually, some of them have a wireless pairing mode where you really do take the thing and put a couple double A's in it and walk around the house and connect it to stuff. So it totally could happen. The thing that is keeping me from not being on TDO and standing in line at Home Depot right now and buying one of these is HomeKit, which already came up as something we talked about. I haven't seen anything yet from Wink about integrating with HomeKit or anything like that, but I think it's really interesting that this is just the latest in a wave of, we have stuff you can put in your house, what hooks up to your smartphone, that's all coming out in the grand scheme of things on the verge of HomeKit's release.
And this is something that people can walk into Home Depot today and pick up for $50.
Mm-hmm.
So really for $50, actually for free, you can start home automation if you already have some of this other compatible stuff.
Yeah.
And that's for $50, you can add in the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a question about that, Kelly. Do you perceive, like with HealthKit, that there is perhaps so much enthusiasm and bandwagon that there's a little bit of incoherency in the market? Or do you see this as ultimately complementary to anything else you do with Apple?
Well, that's a complicated question, only because I have two answers for it. I have spent a lot of time on both sides of technological standard emergence. My father-in-law had a Betamax player, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I learned a long time ago to sort of, as enthusiastic as I am about a lot of things, I have to hold back and wait and see what happens because I don't want to end up betting on the wrong horse. So what I want to do, what I want is for all of these people, you know, somebody like Wink, somebody like Ratio, somebody like Philips Hue. Well, Philips Hue we've already heard from on this. The people that make the door locks and the MyQ stuff for the garage door openers and that sort of thing. I want all of those people to add in HomeKit integration for free. I hope that's what they do. What I want, what I expect to happen, is that it's going to be the VHS beta, the Blu-ray, HD DVD sort of standards emergence. And so, you know, these guys are all going to be a few months along when Apple comes in and says, we have this you can hook up to. And what I'm hoping will happen is that something like Wink will go, yeah, we'll hook to all your HomeKit stuff too using our app. Because HomeKit, just like the HealthKit stuff, HomeKit isn't the app that you launch in order to do stuff. HomeKit is the conduit that lets you use an app like Wink or the Philips Hue app or whatever you desire in order to be able to run stuff in your house.
Okay, that's an important thing for people to know. And I'm betting a lot of people weren't aware of that before, and they're expecting to see a HomeKit app on their mm-hmm. iPhone this fall.
Yeah. And HealthKit is the same way. There's not a HealthKit app that you launch. There may be, I think what it is an app called Health that aggregates that data for you. And probably, and I know absolutely nothing about this. I'm not running an iOS beta. I'm not a developer. All of those disclaimers, those all go right in this little spot. But I would presume there is something similar that would be just sort of like a dashboard for the stuff, you know, what's been turned on recently, what's been turned off recently for your house as well. There's what I'm curious about is how other people are going to integrate with this. Because just because they leave it out there for people to use doesn't necessarily mean anyone's under any obligation to pick it up. So I'm really hoping that people like Wink are already looking at HomeKit and what they can do for that. And making this something better.
I think it's in their best interest to develop standards because no one company can, because of the diversity of the equipment, no right. one company is going to really get to call the shot. So Kwikset, yeah. for example, is not going to be able to dictate, you know, what the standards are for the whole industry because everybody else is doing something else, sprinkler systems and light bulbs and whatever. So it's time for a consortium or a standards committee or something to help this process along and then get on board with Apple, as you said.
You know, yes. And that's mm-hmm. actually an awesome segue into the other topic that I wanted to hit today. And by the way, Kelly, this show was tailor-made just for you today.
I can tell.
Yeah. Okay, so the other topic is there. Okay, so there's this piece you wrote last night about mm-hmm. the Austin Macintosh User Group, CapMac, mm-hmm. and a program that they're getting involved in where they're actually going to be helping collect data that will make navigation or turn-by-turn navigation easier for people and especially for people that have vision impairments.
Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting initiative called Here for You. And it's actually being led by TMO's own Nancy, and I got a chance to chat with her about this.
And you're referring to Nancy Gravely?
Nancy Gravely. And the thing that I particularly love about this is I had this happen to me recently. I had an address for a place I was trying to go, and I got to where the navigation told me I should be. The navigation on my phone fired up maps and said, "Here's where I'm headed." Got to where I was supposed to be, and where the navigation led me to was the parking lot of a strip mall. So being a sighted person, I was able to pull into a parking space and look at the numbers above the doors and figure out, oh, I'm at the wrong end of the parking lot, get to the other end of the parking lot, find the place I was looking for, and go on about my day. I have that advantage because I'm able to see all of that stuff and put it together for myself. Now, a blind person or a visually impaired person who maybe is capable of riding the bus but isn't necessarily capable of the quality of vision that's required to read the doors, read the addresses above the doors from across the way and that sort of thing. That person is going to be, because everything is generally navigated by address, that person is going to be stuck because they're going to get off the bus and it's going to say, "You have arrived," and they're going to be like, "I'm standing on the sidewalk. I'm not anywhere near the place I need to be." So this initiative is called Here for You. And what they found would be useful was being able to add the latitude and longitude basically as an address, as another way to navigate people to someplace. And there's no easy way to add latitude and longitude as part of as useful information in the contacts app. You can add it in the notes field, but you can't do anything with it if you do. So it doesn't help you to have it there. So what this does, the initiative that they're using, will allow you to pinpoint the latitude and longitude. So it will not take you to the address. It will not take you to the building that you're trying to get to. It will take you to the door.
So the latitude and longitude, this is the exact position of where the front door for the business is.
Mm-hmm. The entrance. Really cool. Yeah, the example I have is that here we have a restaurant that's built sort of nearer the street in a parking lot of one of the malls here. But the thing is, the front of the building faces the busy street, which is not where the actual entrance is. They want you to go in the side and you park. The parking area is in the back. So it's very confusing when you go there. And lots of times when you go by it, you'll see people making a lap because they can't figure out how to get into the restaurant. So this would eliminate that because it's not.
I'm sorry. How do people get this data collected?
So right now, CapMac has launched their own initiative. They're starting in Austin and they're using an app to and having people go out into the world and in their everyday erranding and places that they go for different things. They want people to go mark the front door of the place and say what it is. Here's the front door of the movie theater. Here's the front door of the Piggly Wiggly. Here's the front door of Bennigan's or TGI Fridays or, you know, whatever it is, places that people normally go and hang out and spend time. Here's, you know, the brew pub that I like. And they want everything from the friendly neighborhood grocery store to the post office, to the library, to everything. They want to have all this information. And one of the advantages I saw to this is, as a person who travels occasionally, it would really be nice to have super precise location data, because sometimes an address will, again, will only get you so far. And if I was new to a place, or if I was visiting a place, then it would be really handy to be able to get to the door of the place, of the place I'm trying to get to for whatever reason. So I'm really interested in this for a bunch of different reasons. They started this initiative for visually impaired people. And for people who aren't aware, the reason this started on iOS, the reason this came up as an easy thing for a Mac user group to you know, find attention for, was because iOS has a fundamental level of accessibility that is unparalleled by any other mobile device before or since. And I'm not understating that. Like, I know it's an Apple fan thing to say, but it really is the truth. A number of people I know who are visually impaired all basically said, I never even had a cell phone, basically, until the iPhone came out, because I couldn't use most of the stuff on a phone until I got an iPhone. And with the iPhone, because of the voiceover technology and the assistive stuff where you can turn on the flash for different things for people who are impaired and not completely blind, having the light flash when the phone rings or when a text message comes in makes it easier for them. And then being able to interact with Siri amped that up even further. And then when you add things like the Kindle app, including voiceover, so that for free, because it's very useful, you know, every single Kindle book that you get now is possible to be read via voiceover. So a lot of books that were not available in an audio format are now available to people who were not able to read them before. And that happened a few years ago. And there's a number of things like that that are built into iOS that no other mobile operating system has ever considered. And so many people who are visually impaired or hearing impaired in some way are using iOS at adoption rates like never ever before, because it's something they actually can use that is useful, that they're able to work with. And so doing this in order to get the address information even more accurate for people who are able to get out and about will help them get to even more places. It will help people get where they want to go and, you know, not necessarily have to rely on other people. It's just another layer of independence that some people aren't necessarily accustomed to or may never have even had the opportunity to experience before.
You know what? You know what I was going to do next, Kelly. You just could predict it, right? Martellaro would could look up what 1 second of latitude is, and it's about 30 meters. So this is high precision stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll get people right to the doors.
Sub-second accuracy,
which is really cool. All right, yes. We're out of time, and which happens a lot when, well, actually every show I've run out of time. How about that? Anyhow, so the whole thing that CatMac is doing in Austin I think is so cool, and I'm hoping that this catches on and rolls out to other cities too, because what a useful thing, not just for people that have visual impairments, but for anyone that's looking for more accurate information just to get mm-hmm. to the front door of business. And on that really exciting note, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me and participating in a show that was clearly tailored just for you.
Thanks very much. There I do go, want to Kelly. Say, if you guys are interested, leave a comment on the story on Mac Observer, and I'll make sure that anybody who is interested, I can send that information to Nancy, and she can follow up for people who want to expand it to where they are.
Perfect. That sounds awesome. And John, thank you for joining me too.
Absolutely.
You rock.